Take your Bibles, please. Find 1 Kings chapter number 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings comes right after the Samuels. Sometimes people call those the 1 Kings, and this would be the third book of Kings. But our Bible says 1 Kings 14, and we're going to read just the last verse of that chapter. And then you can join me on chapter 15 and verse 1. Then I'll read the next verse there. And then we'll skip over on the same page probably. So just follow along and read responsively after me. 1 Kings 14:31 says, "And Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess, and Abijam his son reigned in his stead. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom." Now look down to verse number 8 and join me on verse 9 only. "And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom."
I am going to be preaching today more at the ladies than not, but fellas, I want you to pay attention. This truth is for you. It'll be the backside of the truth that is for you, but I want you to hear it because I believe every person, every age, every man and woman needs to hear this. Ladies are the crown jewel of creation. They were the last of everything God created here on earth. If you understand what that means, God did things in order of importance. And the last of which would be the most important in his mind. A lady was given by God to man as a gift from God. A lady was given to man, and I don't know how else to say this, as an expression of God's love to man and man's expression of love to God. The picture of a man and a wife is a picture of a walk with God. Now, we are men, we are to love and care for the ladies as God would. That's why in Ephesians it says that Christ is the head of the church, even as the man is the head of the home. And that means we are to love them as Christ loved the church. Ladies, and the ladies of this church especially, I believe that I do all I can, and I want all we always do for you to get the love that God wants you and that you deserve. 27 times. 27 times. In the books of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and the book of 2 Chronicles, we have a statement that God repeats. Now, with all of the kings of Israel and Judah, by the way, Israel and Judah are not the same, though they're all part of the nation of Israel. Remember, after Solomon, the nation was divided, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, and you had the nation of Israel in the north and the nation of Judah in the south, but that all encompassed all of Israel. 27 times you hear the statement, though, it's often said, well, this one followed the way which his fathers followed in the way of the Lord. Or this king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But 27 times, listen to this next statement. God says about the king, and his mother's name was. 27 times. God not only mentions the king, but what his mama's name was. God thought it important enough to tell us who the mother of the king was. Amen. The influence of a mom is very important to God. Sure. I will say this for those of you that came from the Catholic religion. God does not have a mom. Jesus didn't have a mom. See, what about Mary? Oh, that was the vessel by which he was birthed, but he was already in place long before she was. He was at creation. I do not ascribe to the world's philosophy that when a child, whether they're grown or not, does bad, that it's the parents' fault. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. God made us with a decision maker to choose right and wrong. Everybody has a free will to choose right and wrong. And as I've said before, all of us are one decision away from being at the rescue mission. Yeah. One bad decision. But I say this assuredly, everybody has the right to choose right and wrong, but I do believe that a mother especially has a powerful impact on a person's life. You doubt my words? Watch a football game. These big giant goons out there. And their camera comes over to them on the bench. What's the first thing they say? Hi, Mom! That's right. You got these big 300-400-pound gorillas in there. Hi, Mom! The influence of a mother is far more powerful than we think. The Bible is not man's words. It's God's words. Amen. These that I hold in my hand are the words of God that he spoke to man. God did not put the thoughts into man and man write them down. God didn't tell Paul to write a letter and that he would sign it. No, God gave the words for these people to put down on paper. Go through the Bible and see how many times you hear statements like this. Thus saith the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto me saying. There were times God even took his finger and wrote the words. There were other times he spoke those words, but God didn't inspire the thoughts. He inspired every word. He spoke them. And breath, the inspiration of life, had to pass through his voice box to give them to man. By the way, the Bible is still inspired. It's eternally inspired because they're God's words and not man's words. Amen. Now, I'm going to get mad and preach if I'm not careful here. 27 times God says about a king and his mother's name was and gives the name. That wasn't just an afterthought by God. God wanted to show the importance to a man, especially a leader, a king, how important his mom was. You moms may not rear a king, but you rear children that are important. You do have a great influence as a mom. You may even have a great influence as a grandmother. Let me say, I do not believe grandparents ought to rear grandchildren. I don't think that's what God intended. Sometimes it happens. I get that. But that's not what God planned. Children are a young people sport, not an old people sport. Because by the time you're a grandparent, you have enough sense, you wouldn't have had them. You'll enjoy the ones that you can send back home to somebody else, but whew, amen?
Amen.
Now, I do believe grandparents can have a great influence, good or bad. I want to show you some things and some thoughts today that I hope will be a blessing to you, both ladies and men. Number one, please listen to this. Moms have a lifelong effect on children. Moms have a lifelong effect on children. My mama's in heaven, been in heaven for about 6 years now, 5.5, 6 years. And my wife this morning, she texted me and she said, "I know you're missing Mom because I miss her today." And I do. But my response to her was this: how can I be upset that she's doing fine? My mama's feeling good. Amen. She's taking care of 5 great grandbabies that we hadn't got to see yet. And she's with everybody she knows and love. And though I miss her, though I wish she were here today, I'm glad she's not hurting and she's at where she's at in heaven. Amen. Do I miss her? Yeah. I miss her every day like you would. Yes. But how could I be upset? The influence of a mom. A lady that some of you wouldn't even know this name, but you know who her son was. Her name was Jochebed. Who was that? Moses' mom. You remember the story. She had the baby, and then it came time where the baby was too big to conceal. They were to take their babies to the river and throw them into the river for the crocodiles to eat and the fish to eat, because the Hebrew nation was growing stronger than the Egyptians. She put him in the water, but made a basket, a little boat, put him in and said, maybe God will spare his life. His older sister followed that basket down the river as it approached Pharaoh's daughter, and she heard the baby crying. Brother Howes used to say God took the diaper pin and poked him to make him cry. But whatever the case, and Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the child, and Moses' sister said, look, I could find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child and you could rear him. She said, that's fine, you go get one. And Moses was reared as in the palace to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. By the way, nowhere is it recorded in Scripture what his Hebrew name was. Moses was his name, and that is an Egyptian name. But his mama got to rear him. His mama got to nurse him. His mama got to talk to him and sing to him and tell him what his heritage was. Quietly, privately. For as much as 4 or maybe even fewer years. But the time came when he realized he was a Hebrew. Then Moses got in trouble and had to leave Dodge for 40 years. And yet God came back to Moses to lead the nation of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, 400 plus years of slavery and bondage. Why? The influence of the mama. Only had him for a few years. What a powerful influence. You say, well, it's just an infant. You don't know the power you hold over an infant. My granddaughter will be 1 this next week. It's amazing how much they can learn in 1 year. She knows people's voices. She knows who to trust and who not to trust. She knows how to hug and kiss and walk. She even knows mama and daddy and Paul. She can't say Paul, but it's Paul. She hasn't got the meemaw down yet, but she'll get there. She knows who she is for sure. Now, wait a second. That's only in 1 short year. Imagine the influence that could be had and that Mama does have. When she's tired, she's cranky, ain't nobody going to get her but Mama. Because she ain't putting up with nobody else then. Nobody. Another lady in the Bible. You may know or may not know who her son was, but a lady named Hannah. She was barren and couldn't have children, and she begged so much, she was praying one day, and her grief was so bad for not having a child that the preacher thought she was drunk. And he said, "What are you doing here drunk?" And she said, "I'm not drunk. I'm just grieving so much. If God would give me a child, a man child, I'd give him back to God right away." And he said, "Go home. Next year, about this time, you'll have him." By the way, the baby's name, Samuel. Who anointed the first two kings of Israel. A great man of God. As a child, it's only said of Samuel. If you went to the book of 1 Samuel, the first 3 or 4 chapters, you'll find out that the Bible says that that Samuel ministered before the Lord as a child. Whew. The influence of a mama. Samuel became the one who anointed Saul. Samuel becomes the one that would anoint David as king. Samuel was a great man of God. The influence of a mother. Though these ladies' names are not mentioned because of the way Israel went into bondage, but their four names, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I believe, took their stands because of their mama. Three that went into a fiery furnace and one that went into a lion's den. Say why? Because of the teachings of a mama. What about the New Testament preacher? Okay, how about a young man named Timothy? If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, it talks about your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. And the influence that those ladies had on the Apostle Paul. Timothy became a help to the Apostle Paul and pastored a church after the time of Jesus. One of the great churches of the early church days, pastored by Timothy, a young man. And honestly, there's no mention of his daddy. Some of you were reared by a mom and not a present dad. Can I tell you something? God will use you. God understands. All of these people either influenced, and by the way, all of these moms of kings influenced their sons, whether it be good or bad. Listen to these next couple statements. What you put into a young child lasts forever. They'll either use it, or when they're not using it, they're fighting it because they know they should use it. That's what Proverbs means when it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You take a child that was reared right in church, they may not be right with God, but they sure are fighting what their mama did. Ladies, God placed in your hands and in your womb the shaping of a nation. The shaping of a culture. May I say, use it wisely. Use it wisely. Don't give it away to others. And I'm not afraid to say anything. Don't give it away to public education. We have relied too much on public education to rear our children instead of mamas. Don't give it away to the government. God knows they can't do anything with it. Be careful of the influence of entertainment, friends, and social media of your family. You ought to know who the friends of your children are, whether it be in real life or on social media. Best thing to do is don't let them on social media to begin with. Those aren't real friends. I think the internet is a dangerous tool in the hand of a child, especially if it's not tightly regulated. And I know I'm an old-fashioned fuddy-duddy, but guess what? I don't care. You show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. You show me who's influencing you, I'll show you where you're headed. Every time. That's true of preachers. That's true of lay people. That's true of children. That's true of teenagers. You show me who you allow to influence you, and I will show you what you are. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs 31 for a moment. I imagine Proverbs 31 is probably one of the most misused chapters of the Bible. I'm going to shock you. How many of you ever heard the term the Proverbs 31 lady? Raise your hand. Yeah, many have. Do you realize that Proverbs 31 was penned by a son about his mother? It was not a man for his wife. Look at verse 1. The words of whom? King Lemuel. Look at me. The Proverbs 31 lady was the mama of a king. The prophecy that his mother taught him. What does prophecy mean? That means this. You ladies, as you teach your children, you're saying this statement often. One day, this is going to happen. One day, you're going to need this. If you don't do it now, I'm going to take you out now. No. Or there's a reason some animals eat their own children. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, or thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She was teaching her son, don't let the wrong lady influence you. Marry right. Don't give your heart away to the wrong person. She'll destroy you as a king. Where did he learn it? His mama. Oh, I was thinking this morning as I was reviewing this, and I was thinking about my mom. My mom gave, like my dad, such practical advice. My mom and dad were common people with uncommon knowledge and wisdom. I remember, and I had no sisters, thank God. I had one brother, no sisters. I've heard the horror stories. And I was the little brother, thank God. Amen? That's right. There's an advantage to having an older sibling. You watch them get in trouble and say, I can hide that better than they could. I mean, I don't have to do that. The altar's close, amen? Now, hang on. Watch this for a second. I remember I was getting up into the older high school, early college years, and my mom said, son, you don't know much about ladies. I said, no, ma'am. I just know you. She said, son, one day you're going to come home from work and your wife's going to be sitting on the chair or the couch crying. You're going to ask her what's wrong. She's going to say nothing. Just believe her. Okay, to a teenage boy, that makes zero sense. To a young married man, it still doesn't make sense. But you know what happens. Yeah. My mom would cry because she was happy. That doesn't make sense to a man. You don't cry when you're happy, you cry when something's bad, wrong. And my mom would say, it's okay, those are happy tears. Now, that statement is an oxymoron. I ain't never cried happy. I've cried many a tears in pain, many a tears from hurt. Matter of fact, I was trying not to cry Thursday when they had to take that stupid stent out. Now, wait a second, and I didn't cry. I wanted to punch somebody, but I didn't do it either. What was that? My mom was teaching me what I needed someday. My wife and I got engaged, and I would be back from time to time, and mom would cook. And you have to understand, to a kid that's been at Bible college, home cooking, it's no better than, I mean, that's the top of the totem pole there, man, because you ain't had nothing worth eating for 4 years. And my mom, after we got engaged, she'd say, now, son, Deb is going to cook someday. It might not be exactly the way I do, but enjoy it anyway. You don't tell her that's the way my mom did it. Boy, did I learn that real fast, amen? You know, thank God for the influence of a godly mother. I'm glad my wife didn't have to feel like she was in competition with my mom. And by the way, my wife got close to my mom. My mom never looked at her as a daughter-in-law, looked at her as a daughter. I don't look at my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law as in-laws. They're my son and my daughter. I know this is West Virginia, not biologically, all right? But, got to say what you got to say, right? Now, wait a second. Why is that? Because I learned it from my mom. It wasn't hard for me to accept Ruth Ann. It wasn't hard for me to accept Michael. He just had to learn I was a good shot and don't mess up. Amen? I told my daughter, first thing I'm going to do, you start dating somebody, take them out shooting. They're going to find out dad shoots straight and hits what he's aiming at. I did. Michael came here, took him out groundhog hunting, splatted the first one, looked at him and said, don't mess up with my daughter. Didn't I? And my daughter's, Dad, why'd you do that? I told you I was going to do that. If he's man enough to come through that, he's man enough to marry you. One wasn't, one was. He got the prize. I'm not saying it was, anyway. Wait a second. What is that? The influence of a mom. I remember my daughter, from the time she could walk and talk, she'd carry her dolls around. Two things she wanted to do in life. She wanted to be a mommy and a teacher. I'll not forget the day she became a mom. I'll also not forget the day she became a teacher. And I, on that first day of school, reminded her. I remember a little girl running around the house saying, Daddy, I want to be a mommy and a teacher like Mom. What, my son? What, the son of my womb, the sum of my vows? The influence of a mama on a king. Mamas, you hold in your hands. You feed and love and nurture and guide the next generation's leaders. Right. Number two, the Bible says that the lady, the mama, is the guide of the house. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse number 17. It's talking about a young man and him doing things wisely or foolishly. And in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger that flattereth with her words. Oh, how many times my mom would tell me, you stay away from that girl. She's going to be trouble for you. What do you mean, Mom? Just obey. You don't have to understand right now. Thank God I listened. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. What's that talking about? The young woman that flattered the young men the wrong way? She forgot what her mama taught her? So what are you talking about? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It's right before 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at verse 14. And it's talking about older men teaching younger men and older ladies teaching younger ladies. Verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children. What's the next three words? Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. I want you to notice that one little statement there. Guide the house. That term guide does not mean being the leader per se. But the word guide is someone who shows the patterns of. One who influences the movements of someone else. They're the ones that show you how to write your letters. You have a guide called an alphabet. They're the ones who show you the patterns of things. See, teaches a boy how not to argue with dad. Doesn't work very well, but they try. They're the ones that show you how to do things. We found my rocking chair that I had when I was a kid. It's about that tall, the whole thing. And my grandson fell in love with it. I remember by the hour sitting on that chair with my mom sitting next to me. I learned to tie my shoes in that chair. She took a white shoestring and a black shoestring and taught me how to. You take the black one and cross it over the white one. You fold it under, pull it. You make this loop with that one. Rabbit ear, turn it around. And by the hour, I would sit there doing that on the arm of that chair. They didn't have Velcro in those days. They didn't have Skechers that you just slide in. You had to learn to tie your shoes. And she told me, you can't go to school till you learn how to tie your shoes. You had to know what your name was, your address, your telephone number. You had to be able to know what your mom and dad's name was. I thought my mom's name was George. I was shocked when I found out it wasn't George. Now, wait a second. What was that? My mom, by the hour, she thought I would never learn how to tie my shoes. I'm sure. I memorized scripture sitting in that chair. That chair is old and worn out, but another generation coming. A guide is someone who shows the pattern. You know what I'm talking about. You men that have saws and stuff. You have a guide on your saws. You set it so that it cuts something the right width or the right length. You follow that guide and it makes a pattern for you. That's exactly what a mama is in a home. It's not a boss or a dictator. It's more of a teacher about life. I wonder how many times my mama patched up my knees or my elbows from scrapes and scratches and cuts in that little chair. You say, why is the mom the bigger influence? Because she spends more time with the child. Right. Those early years are the most important years. Do you know that the communists said, give us a child till they're five? You could have them the rest of their life because we'll own them. Yep. I'm going to make a statement here, make somebody mad if I'm successful. That's one of the problems with our public education. Our public educators, that's why it mandated kindergarten. Yeah. They want the influence longer. You see, the influence of a mama is important. And those early years are the most important. You ought to talk to your children, infants that don't know how to talk back. You ought to teach them. You ought to read them the Bible. You ought to give them wisdom. Even when you don't think they're wise enough to understand, guess what? It's going in. You ought to teach them about Jesus and salvation from the time that they're born. God tells us how important to a king each mom was by giving their name. Moms, ladies, you are not only vital to a home, but you're vital to a nation. I'm going to say something here. Please listen to me carefully. I'm not blaming the ladies in this room. I'm going to speak on behalf of our nation at the moment. But this is why gender neutrality in this alphabet soup, LGBTQ, whatever else the mess up is a danger to our country. You wonder why America doesn't know what a boy and a girl are? Look how it's messing up a culture. This is why there ought to be a difference in girl sports and boy sports by far. And just because it thinks it's a boy or it thinks it's a girl, it shouldn't play something else. I don't think I'm out of line for saying this. I think that's why we have such a violent nation today. There was a day you wouldn't think about fighting in front of your mama. There was a day when a man had honor and would, listen to me, they had enough honor that they would not even curse in front of a lady. Now, females curse worse than any sailor I ever heard. Growing up, I don't think I ever heard an adult lady curse. What happened? We didn't rear our kids at home and guide them right. And now we have mamas and daddies cussing and swearing at each other and wonder why our nation is so violent. I did a lot of things in life. I wasn't the best child in the world. I was a sinner like everybody else. I did things that, watch this, y'all. Yeah, I've been there. But I don't know that I ever heard my mom scream or holler at me. I'm not sure I ever heard my mom raise her voice to me. Did you get in trouble? Yeah, more than times than you can imagine. I remember one time, I was getting a little bigger. My mom whipped me. And I wouldn't cry because it didn't hurt. She said, how come you didn't cry? I said, because it didn't hurt. The next words brought fear. Okay, wait till your dad gets home. It hurt. I remember, you're not real smart at that age. You think you are, and then find out you weren't as smart as you thought you were. I believe the violence of our nation is because mamas have lost their influence. They've not used their influence right. I believe ladies ought to be lifted up to the delicate level they're supposed to be, not brought down to brutish ways of men. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about female wrestlers in WWE or WWF or whatever it is. What a nasty thing. Female boxers. And yet we watch it by the, some people do, not me. People watch it and you really want your daughter to grow up and do that? Let's be careful. Look at the filth of Hollywood, the cesspool, the sensuality from Hollywood. You wouldn't let your daughter run outside as a teenager down the street in her underwear, but yet we can parade people around called millionaires parading around in less than their underwear and think it's great. What's wrong with America? Where's their mamas at? Shoot, how many times did you hear your mama say when you were little, make sure you got clean underwear and socks on in case you get in an accident? Thinking, Mom, if it's that bad of an accident, it probably ain't going to still be clean. Come on now. Let's be real. Mom was concerned you were like you're supposed to be when you leave. Where's that at? Number three, and I'll finish quickly. Ladies, use your power and influence wisely. Use your power and influence wisely. How do you do that, preacher? First of all, you've got to be in agreement with that book right there. Your walk with God and your alignment with God and His Word will give you the authority to say what needs said. Don't be Catholic thinking you can control God. Mary was not the mother of God. Everybody doing okay? I said this in my Sunday school class. I've said it in here before and I'll say it again. Mary was not the mother of God. She was a virgin. The miracle of the virgin birth was not the virgin, it was the Father. Every lady could be a virgin. There was only one father that could father a child through a virgin. That's the miracle. She's not the Holy Mother. Hello. She had at least five children after that. Say, why do you have to use your influence wisely? Because according to Proverbs 31, according to 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, we men need your influence so that we don't leave a wave of destruction at every moment of our life. Men are destructive. Do you ever watch a little boy play with things? They beat on it. They crash it. They jump on it. They got to see what it takes to get it torn apart. Yeah. Am I right? What's a mama always say? Quit tearing that thing apart. Quit doing that to your toys. Because a man is built to tear things apart. He's happiest when something gets destroyed. You want to have a great men's party? I had a building on our church property in South Carolina. My Sunday school class, I had a men's activity. I said, bring your sledgehammer. We had a block building that needed to come down. We had a men's activity doing nothing but sledgehammering our building and watching it come down. It was one of the best things we ever did in our life. We were having time of our life. Our wives were saying, that's stupid. No, we were having fun. Say, why? We were like little boys again with bigger tools. You say, what is that? Because a man is naturally brutish. That's why God said that I don't care how strong you are, and I'm paraphrasing this. He said, but if you don't have the understanding of man, what good is your strength? Right. Manhood is more than physical strength. It is an understanding. Yeah. It is a strength of character to hold back. Right. Listen to me. There is no guarantee that any child will turn out right. They have to choose to do right. But moms need to live and love them to try to get them to do right. And don't aid in their doing of wrong. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? Isn't it interesting? Mom's not mentioned. But she is. When he comes back, he said, I've sinned against heaven and earth. His mama had already died. He said, I sinned against my mama in heaven. It's time to get right. Sometimes moms have to do the hard thing and let go and trust. There's a hard day in life as a parent. That's when you let your children go. So I'm never letting go. That's the problem. God says children are like arrows. Did you know holding arrows in the quiver doesn't do much? They're only useful is when you shoot them. I'm not saying shoot your kids, but you got to let them go. I saw the wheels turning. It was coming. The purpose of the quiver is to hold the arrow so that you could shoot the prey. And God says children are there for us to use and let them release so that they could go on to do things. That's why God said in the very early pages of the Bible in Genesis that a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That means she has to leave too. The purpose of a mom then is to let go and not hang on. It's to multiply, not just add. I didn't lose a daughter when she got married. I added a son. I didn't lose my son when he got married. I added another daughter. But may I say something? That multiplies. Your walk with God will be the most powerful force in a child's life. I will not belabor this. I will not use this to hurt anybody's reputation. But after my son went to Bible college the first time, he decided to rebel. Got expelled from Bible college. Came back and lived a pretty rough life for about a year, year and a half. We were devastated. I couldn't let him live at home. I said, you got a brother and sister, either keep the rules or you don't come home. He said, I'm not coming home. I said, so be it. But I'm not changing the rules for you. That was not easy. After about a year and a half, sitting up in a tree stand out there by your place, my son called and I said, what do you need? He said, Dad, I think I'm done running. I couldn't get out of the tree fast enough. I did not fall and break my heel that time. I was running to my truck. I was driving. I said, I'll meet you at home. We talked and hugged. And I said, I'm not going to advise you. He looked at me. I said, who in America would you listen to? To help you. He gave me the name. I took out my phone. I texted that person and said, I'm giving you my son your phone number. He's going to call you momentarily. I said, answer the call. He's coming back to get right with God. I said, you better answer it. About 5 minutes later, my son was in the backyard walking and talking to that preacher. My son, I still wouldn't let him move back home. I said, you got to live 90 days right before I let you move back home. I found a place for him to be with a man in our church, older man. Had to pay rent, had to get a job. That wasn't easy. But he did it. He drove back to Kentucky and stood before Brother Fugit and Dr. Jorgensen and another man on the committee. Begged forgiveness and asked if he could come back. Two said yes, one said no. To the one that said no, I called him and said, I respect you and I probably would have voted your way. But I hope he's got enough character to earn your trust back. About 4 years later, he walked across the platform and got his diploma. And that one that voted no picked him up and shook him like a pop bottle. I asked him one day, I said, son, Why'd you come back? Why'd you get right? He'll tell you. He said, Dad, everything that's been put into me in my life, he said, I looked around and said, what am I doing? He said, I could see Mom every day reading her Bible and praying. I could hear her call my name. He said, I know you prayed for me. He said, I'd get up and watch you pray in the morning. He said, I can't fight it anymore. Now I feel sorry for the devil because he's on fire for God. Doing what he's supposed to do. But can I tell you what got him back? He'll tell you. His mama's walk with God. No doubt. Ladies, you hold in your power. You hold in your guidance. A king. A king's wife. Use your power well. And as you go through, it says, King so-and-so. And his mother's name was. And his mother's name was. You're the mother of a king. What you going to do with it? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Men, we need this. We need to realize we're married to kingmakers. Never says who his dad was, per se. That was a lineage. I wonder if we ought to take care of those who rear the next kings. Love them like God wants us to love them. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands.